What you buy them with you, please turn with us to Isaiah 6 and James chapter 4. And we will be looking at both of these passages at the same time, if you can kind of do that. So have a thumb in each one, if you have got a Bible there. We're going to start looking at Isaiah 6. As Daniel read to us, the prophet Isaiah has an experience of God. The great chorus they sang, verse 3 says, is holy. Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory. The prophet has an experience of the holy. Verse 2 describes a mysterious experience of the holy. Hovering around him were mighty seraphim, angels. He's trying to describe the indescribable, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with the remaining two they flew. Verse 4, the glorious singing that was resounding shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire sanctuary was filled with smoke. So it's an awesome, mysterious experience of the holy. And scared by this, the prophet draws back. Verse 5, my destruction is sealed. I'm a sinful man, I'm a member of a sinful race. For I have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Now go over to James chapter 4. I'd like us to just lift out verse 8. Which is a marvelous invitation from God. Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. An invitation from God. An alluring invitation into the mystery that is God. Fascinated, James is expecting the believers to allow themselves to be drawn towards God. Let's go back to Isaiah 6. The prophet, having initially drawn back in fear, hears the question in verse 8 from the Holy One that he sees there on the throne, asking, whom should I send as a messenger to my people? Who will go for us? And I said, Lord, I'll go. Send me. From this position of drawing back, hearing God's call, the prophet now responds and steps forward, steps closer to. the one whom has just filled him with fear. Now go back to James 4. Draw close to God, verse 18, and God will draw close to you. The believer is drawn towards this invitation to closeness. And yet look at what that invitation actually is. It's an invitation into brokenness and humility. Draw close to God and God will draw close to you. But the verse goes on and says, wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you hypocrites. Let there be tears for the wrong things you've done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. So in Isaiah, there's a drawing back, but then a drawing near. And in James, there's a drawing near, but then in that drawing near, there is this invitation to be broken before God, to face the shortcomings in our life, to grieve over them, to weep over them, to repent before the all-seeing, holy being that we are being invited to draw close to. So what this shows us is that whenever anyone has a true experience of the holy, living God, they find themselves caught up in two opposite things at the same time. A scary mystery and an alluring mystery. We draw back and we are pulled forward at the same time. Back to Isaiah 6. The scene of God that the prophet gives us is God, the loud voice, awesome power, dreadful holiness, a God who is too big, too great, too everything, inspiring fear in the mortal and a drawing back. Sadly, many believers never get beyond this part of the journey. They think of holiness in terms of judgment, and dread, and the all-powerful one before whom they are utterly powerless. And if they never get beyond that in their journey, they are overwhelmed by a sense of sinfulness, unworthiness, and apartness. So living for that believer becomes focused around sin, about defining sin, about managing it, about about fences and rules, who is in, who is out, who is worthy, who isn't worthy, when am I worthy, when aren't I worthy. And what's really sad about that is that the wonderful part of both of these passages is that this is only part of the journey. James talks about drawing near to this God. And even more wonderfully, James says in that same sentence, God drawing near to us. What an amazing picture that throws up to us of God drawing near to us. Let's be really honest with ourselves, brothers and sisters. What kind of a picture does that throw up to us of a God who is drawing near to us? Is that picture one that brings calming thoughts to us? Or is the drawing near to God something that is frightening to us? Or worse than that, is the picture of the God who is drawing near to us like a relentlessly approaching all-consuming fire that chills us. If that is so, and no point denying if it is so, but if it is so, please hear what God is saying to us and realize that if that's so, it's because we are only partway through the journey. Take Peter, for example. Given all that we know about his history, we've spent a bit of time on Peter this year, haven't we? Before, during, and after Easter. Peter writes his letter in 1 Peter chapter 1. Probably familiar to you, don't have to look it up. But he talks in those early verses of the first chapter about fiery trials and testings. But then in only a few verses on from that, he speaks, as it were, in the same breath, about how you love him. You love him, goes on in that same verse and says, you trust him. Then most wonderful of all, he says, you are filled with a glorious, inexpressible joy. So, as we hold Isaiah 6 alongside of James 4, we are reminded that a genuine experience of the Holy God means we will be caught up into opposite things, as it were, at the same time. Not one, but two things. That experience of the Holy will bring a frightening and overwhelming hesitation to us, but it will also, at that same time, bring a mysterious, alluring attraction for us. Joy's dad was a farmer. He used to train border collies for flock work and also for the sheepdog trials that he was a part of. And every now and then a farmer would bring back a dog that hadn't worked out for him. Dad would usually take the dog for a month and see what the problem was. And usually, he discovered pretty quickly that the dog had been beaten or abused in some way, shape, or form. And I used to be fascinated watching these dogs as they would get used to a different master. They would be so trembling, so fearful, so hesitant. And yet at the same time, you could see them battling inside of themselves this attraction, this wanting. Wanting to please, this wanting to be affirmed. And yet at the same time, this hesitation. And I used to think that is a great picture of the human, of the mortal, standing before God. An awesome need for love, and yet, an almost hardly being able to believe that it is possible. A hesitation, a drawing back, not wanting to let go, and yet also an attraction. The message of these two passages is don't stop partway through the journey. Don't stop thinking that you are unloved and unworthy. Journey on. Journey on into the fullness of the experience of God. We need both of these experiences. There's nothing worse than someone who has just become so glib with God, just so shallow with God, just so flippant with God, because they haven't seen the depth of their own sin. Both of those experiences are part of the true and the genuine experience of the Holy Ghost. But it's just as sad on the other side. See people who have truly seen themselves in the mirror. They've taken that time, the stream of their life, where it's got to those little rock pools like I wrote about in the newsletter, where they can look deeper into themselves, and what they see what lies beneath in all of us, it's a necessary part, but it's so tragic if it doesn't go on from there. Because you see, holiness is also an overwhelming love and mercy from God. Holiness is also the experiencing of this inexpressible joy that Peter writes about in God's presence. We know that. It's one thing to look deep into the pool and see what lies beneath, and it's another thing to be overwhelmed with the fact that God loves us anyway. Holiness is God pulling us into something very good, pulling us into something inviting and something wonderful. James, draw close to God. God will draw close to you. It'll mean slowing down. It'll mean doing that reflection. It'll mean reflecting on what is true. Like Philippians 4:8, letting our mind dwell on those things, things that are true. Our lives, so the Bible says, are inseparably joined with Christ. God's done that. We can't undo that. God's done that. We are inseparably joined to Christ. That's true. It happened through the agency of the Holy Spirit. Not because of our goodness, as we heard about this morning around communion. Because of the love and the gospel of God. God is therefore closer to us than we are to ourselves. That's true. But it's the awareness of that being true. And being true for me. Being true for you. Are we allowing that to control our mind in Romans 12? Allowing ourselves to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Our mind is renewed on the basis of what is true. So we draw close to God if He is already within us. If He's already closer to us than we are to ourselves, how can we draw any closer to God than what we already are? It's about our mind, it's about our thoughts, it's about our awareness. We draw close to God when we reflect on what is true truth about who God is. About being able to be honest before Him, an honest self-assessment of who we are, repenting, a daily thing, and reminding our mind of who we are in Christ. And as we do that, we experience this strange term that James talks about, that God will draw close to us. There will be this close. So, a true experience of the Holy is both these. It's a paradox. Overwhelming, fearful hesitation, and at the same time, a mysteriously alluring attraction. If we don't experience both, then we don't have a true or a full experience of the Holy. Loving Heavenly Father, we want to just respond to you on the basis of your word today. We give ourselves to you as we are, knowing that you know where we are. Place us in our own understanding, in our own thinking, in our own awareness of where we are and who we are. We might view Father with that holy fear, that inexpressible joy, being worshipped. These things we ask in Jesus.